And of course, I just listened to the clips you sent me, and that was enough. I was like, oh my fucking Jesus. Like, there wasn't a lot to look into, but what they did say was idiotic.
Horrific?
Yeah. Oh, no.
This is why I do these clips, James. I don't want to put you through having to listen to even 30 minutes of this horseshit. It's just too sickening.
I appreciate that.
You feel your brain start to seize up as they talk.
They're caged. And oh, that's so wonderful. Gives us a great insight. No, it doesn't. Fuck you. Reality gives you a good insight into these fuckers, not this bullshit you guys are presenting.
That's right.
Yep.
Now, I'm on the Saints Volume 1 page, but it looks like there might be 35 pages of this. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We're only at episode 26. Now, if I'm at episode 1 and I go backwards, that should go to 35, right? Let's see. Page not found. Way to go, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
They must have Doge helping them with their fucking web pages or something.
Something like that, I am sure. So if I hit forwards, it goes to the next one. Oh, I don't want to hit forwards 35 times.
Why not?
Why not? It's such good quality.
So do you go into anonymous when you're clicking through church web pages, or do you not give a fuck?
I don't care about my ISP scene,
but
I use a thing called temporary containers. It allows you to, every time you open a new tab, it's like you're opening an isolated new web browser.
Oh, I see. I downloaded a couple extensions on Mozilla that have like separate containers, like when you're looking at Facebook.
So this takes that idea to the next level. And I quite like it. I've been using it for years. So their episode 26 does coincide with what we're talking about today. And it looks like there's 35 episodes. So we're not at the end. Oh,
got my hopes up there for a brief second there, patience.
I'm sorry, Jones. You don't need any more hits, do you?
You know what? It keeps coming. I'm already having a shit day. My wife has left town.
Oh.
For a good reason. Our daughter is giving a presentation tomorrow on the research that she did last summer in Belize.
Oh, nice.
But we've got two boys that still need to go to school. We got Mouse.
He doesn't stop eating.
Actually, he doesn't eat that much. Like, I remember growing up, you know, if you left town for a day, fuck it, leave the dog in the backyard. Now you don't do that.
No.
I wouldn't do it with Mouse anyways, because he would bark and bark and drive the neighbors nuts and destroy anything resembling order in my backyard. And if he was in the house, he'd shit all over everything and destroy everything. So she's only going to be gone for one night, but
I guess it might be a long night then.
Well, I have medication of a herbal nature that I will be partaking in liberally. So when the boys are in bed, I plan on making myself fall asleep.
That's the way. You can go and let Mouse out if you want.
Yeah, he's being an asshole.
Hey, Mouse. Such a big dog. So cute. Run along and play, Mouse. Out you go.
He's not playing. The backyard is 10 by 20. It's literally just where he goes to take a shit.
That's right.
But he really likes laying out on the back porch in the sun in the afternoon and just sitting there.
Right.
So.
Well, as far as Mormon-related news goes, there hasn't been a lot. Probably the next episode we do after the general conference, there'll be something to talk about from that, I'm sure. But
oh, yes. Well, there will, but there won't, because it's going to be the same bullshit platitudes that they say every fucking year.
I know.
Have you heard of the old Mormon adage of milk before meat?
Not really, no. Tell me more about that.
Milk before meat is the idea that we are given milk, the easy to digest and easy to understand doctrine. And then later on, we're given the meat, the substantive and important doctrine. Once we understand, like, they're building on stuff.
I think I'm lactose intolerant, James.
Well, here's the thing. They keep saying that, but they never give us the more substantive. So going into conference, it's going to be the same shit because they always say the same shit. They just repackage. Nothing fucking changes in the church.
No.
Especially with Nelson, they've been just changing set dressings, but the entire structure is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And if they are forced to change, they pretend like they always wanted to change and they just poof, magic finger all the shit that they said for. Like, no, it didn't happen.
Magic finger. I like that one. They give it the magic finger.
But not the fun kind of magic finger.
Oh, Jones. They gotta have some fun.
I meant the middle ones.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Talking about Mormon insults, of the little news I did find, there was that basketball game about a week ago.
Last weekend, yeah.
Apparently, yet again, there was some chanting.
Yep.
BYU was playing Arizona.
My home state. Also, I don't give a fuck.
So the chant was like, fuck the Mormons, right?
Not creative.
I don't even know why this is news. It's just a chant. Who cares?
It's news because the Mormons can use it to feed their persecution complex.
Right. It wouldn't be news if it was the other way around, though.
Well, no, it wouldn't. And even if it somehow makes the news, BYU would come out with an official statement saying, oh, it was just a few students and they've been talked to. I don't give a shit about sports. I have seen videos. I hear that mocking the other team is a really big thing.
Yeah.
Like, apparently, fucking happens all the time.
That's right.
So when your entire identity for your team is like, we're Mormons, we're special, you can't be surprised that they're going to go, fuck the Mormons, especially after the Mormons just kicked their ass.
It's a sport.
Yeah, it's a sport.
Fucking grow up.
But then again, you start talking like that, it's easy for people to say, oh, fuck trans people. It's just a saying.
Just the words.
So on one hand, overreaction, calm the fuck down. On the other hand, maybe that is problematic. And I only have two hands, but there's another hand that, you know, it's human nature. Yeah, fuck it.
I know. Whenever you start pulling apart anything.
Yes.
There's nuance.
And that's why I find myself completely frozen and unable to do anything a lot.
That's okay, Jones.
My brain just keeps going down and picking stuff apart, so.
That's when you go and dial up some Fallout and just play a nice game.
I just finished Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Oh.
Now it's done and I need a new game.
Oh, no, Jones. So dear. Well, good luck finding one.
Yeah. My wife said, well, why don't you buy a game? I'm like, there's no games out that I want to play.
You should watch some competition cooking shows.
You know, actually, what I like to do is I watch videos on YouTube of people doing barbecue. There's this one guy I was just watching making pulled pork sandwiches on the Weber grill. And I'm like, ooh.
Ooh.
I enjoy smoking meat sometimes. It's a lot of work, but at the same time, I like doing this. But I really like watching videos of people doing that. Or people restoring tools or old swords or old computers or, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like taking something that's common or cheap and then somehow modifying it and like giving it heaps more value.
Yeah. Out of all those cooking competition shows, there's Chopped.
I love Chopped.
Okay. Have you ever seen Chopped After Hours?
Yes.
Where it's the judges.
Uh-huh.
I love that one because there's no competition. They're having a good time. There's no like being a dick to one another or sabotage. You know, they're all having fun. They're drinking some wine. Love that one. The other one, of course, is Great Beers Bake Off.
Absolutely.
Because they're kind, loving. They help each other. Even though there is an end goal of one person winning, whenever somebody leaves, they all come and they hug the person and say, oh, you did so great. Oh, we're going to miss you. They're people being nice humans, not just humans. They're using the nice part of their humanity to interact. And I like that.
What I find interesting about cooking shows is it allows people to suspend their differences a little bit and just focus on the cooking. And then you find people from all sorts of different backgrounds working together and appreciating each other. And it's nice to take that stance just for a bit, even though it's a little bit artificial.
Yeah, it is.
It makes you imagine what the world could be.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to fuck the Mormons, someone in the Reddit thread had a great idea. They need to change the chant, make it a little more educational and be like, rock in a hat, rock in a hat. That should be the chant. And see, then they wouldn't be swearing. There's really nothing they could say about that.
Right.
That's just sledging then, isn't it? You know, it's fine.
Yeah. When you're in a stadium, it's echoey and you can't quite understand what the people are saying. So unless you're participating, it's just like, you know, fuck the Mormons. It's got those hard-hitting consonants. You understand fuck But rocking the hat, blah, 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 it would get too muddied.
It would. It's a little bit longer because it's got to have that.
Yes, exactly. I've only seen it on Ted Lasso, which is a fictional TV show that my wife watched, and I watched part of an episode once. But, you know, they have these complicated songs and chants, but everybody has to be in it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, does it?
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Another thing that I saw on the Expo Reddit, when they're going to dedicate the new temple outside Vegas, apparently some group is planning to plant
a big-ass pride flag, yep.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Yeah, on Lone Mountain that's visible from the temple.
Mm-hmm. Good on them.
I mean, isn't it pretty much on Lone Mountain or next to it?
Yes, the temple's not on the peak, but they're going to put the flag up on the peak.
Yeah, so I thought, that's cool. Stick a gay flag up the top there and stick it right up him.
Mouse, he's out there barking, holding. Boy, fuck up.
He's so cute.
Boy, you sit. Lay down.
Oh, he's a good boy.
Good boy.
So the other bit of news was James Huntsman's lawsuit, trying to sue the church for all of his tithing money now that he's not LDS anymore. He doesn't need the money. He was doing it largely as a
protest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
it was dismissed.
Yeah. And that was from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yeah. It never stood a fucking chance.
I guess not.
Especially with the high pedestal that religion is put on in this country.
Yeah, it's a little too high, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's way too high. Just look at the shit that churches get away with.
Yeah.
And it's not exclusively an American thing.
No.
Churches have gotten away with shit all over the world.
They get away with more in America.
Yeah, because we have this 200-year-old piece of paper that says the state shall not establish a religion, and they've managed to turn that into, you can't say anything bad about religion because you're an asshole and they're protected and we don't tax them and fuck you. But, you know, hey, that's one of the great things about Trump destroying the Constitution. Hey, maybe that won't happen anymore. Maybe we'll start taxing the churches.
Yeah.
Anybody that thinks that Trump or Musk or any of those fuckers actually believe in any sort of God is a fucking idiot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Trump's not a Christian.
No. Trump is a Trumpian. That's what Trump is. Trump worships Trump.
Uh-huh.
Musk worships Musk. Even atheists, people that don't believe in God, are still humans and they could still be assholes.
That's right.
It's not just religion.
All right. Well, since this is Book of Boredom and we are talking about Saints episode 26, they have this fellow Matt McBride on the podcast, some digital content manager or some horseshit. I'm like, they must be really scraping the bottom of the barrel because this doesn't sound like someone who is particularly knowledgeable about history. This is not a historian.
There have been some actual historians, but as a general rule, historians for the church, they're not interested in history. They're interested in messaging.
Right.
In such a manner that they can keep the sheep in line, whatever.
Anyway, the first clip I've got here, I've called Partridge Nests in a Malaria Bog and Dies.
We lose a good friend. He's the first bishop in the church. His family has moved to this swampy mess of a land. His 18-year-old daughter, Harriet, passes away. I love Bishop Partridge. He was faithful. He was tarred and feathered, and just nothing stopped him in his faith.
I love what they say in his obituary about his faith. It says, "No man had the confidence of the church more than he. His religion was his all. For this he spent his life, and for this he laid it down." I thought that was beautiful.
And what a great man he was, and a great example of enduring to the end.
Oh, Sarah, Sarah, Sarah.
Yeah, you know what? Partridge?
That poor man.
Yeah, well, he had a good amount of money. He was one of the people that Joseph Smith fleeced. He spent most of his fortune trying to support the church and bailing out Joseph. And so, of course, he was beloved and special because he fucking gave his worldly possessions for this church. And then he fucking dies in a swamp.
So does his daughter.
And to be fair, a lot of people died, but they definitely weren't helping the situation by moving into a fucking malaria swamp.
No.
Because Joseph Smith was trying to build Zion again.
Right. All of the moving that they were doing, that takes a toll.
Yeah, it did. And Partridge, I mean, he was like 46 when he died.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, people didn't live as long back then, but all the shit that these people went through, yeah, takes a toll. And so he died.
Forcing themselves into much harder labor and a life than needed to be just because of Joseph, they probably would have lived a lot longer.
If they had stayed put in New York or wherever the fuck they got rustled in from.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually tried to build something and stick to it rather than just being thrown all over the country wherever Joseph went next.
Yeah. I mean, he was like a first bishop of the church or something.
Whatever that's supposed to mean, but yeah.
I mean, he got the position because he provided funds.
Yes.
To Joseph's con.
Like everyone that got positions in his church.
Right, exactly.
It was always for something he wanted, and we'll see more about that later too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's have a look at the next amazing clip.
Nauvoo. How did the city change its name? It was Commerce.
Joseph Smith, at one point, as the story goes, is looking over the city and decides that he's going to change the name to Nauvoo. He said that Nauvoo was a Hebrew word that means beautiful. Joseph Smith, in the mid-1830s in Kirtland, had hired a man named Joshua Satius to come and teach Joseph Smith and others in the School of the Prophets about Hebrew. And in Satius's Hebrew grammar that Joseph Smith had, we have this word Nauvoo that's there, and that appears to be where Joseph Smith got the name for the city.
Wow, I did not know that. So it's actually a Hebrew word.
It's a real Hebrew word.
Fucking bullshit. You didn't know that, motherfucker. I've heard about that my entire yeah. fucking life, about how Joseph Smith took this beautiful Hebrew word that meant beautiful and renamed this shitty town to mean beautiful, even though it was a swamp hellhole, and then the horrible evil people came and killed it. So you saying you'd never heard that, you're fucking liar. Fuck you, you dipshit asshole.
Yeah, I thought that was really surprising too that he said I did not know that.
And even the word is not Nauvoo. It's something else. It could be maybe translated as Nauvoo.
You know what's also strange? Like, when you try to look up the meaning of that word in Google Translate, you can't really find it.
V is not a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And never mind the fact that there was already a town there. They already fucking named it. Some carpetbagging douchebag comes in and fucking renames their town because he's Joseph fucking Smith. He's the prophet of the Lord. Fuck you. That is a shitty town, but they already have a fucking name for it.
They already had a shitty name for their shitty town, and now they've made it shittier.
By some kind of sort of not really Hebrew word.
Right. It's a Hebrew word that doesn't get used in contemporary Hebrew, as far as I can tell.
Well, okay. But it's not like they were trying to do contemporary anything. They were faking the OG shit.
Well, it's definitely OG Hebrew because it's...
The root of the word is OG Hebrew. The word Nauvoo is not OG Hebrew.
True.
Nauvoo is some fucking cultural appropriation by some dumb motherfucking white guy who is a con man, and fuck him.
Yes.
Bah.
Yes. This is what I dial in for. Jones's amazing awesome rants. All right, so the next clip I've called, sure, Billy, I forgive you. Give me all your resources.
William W. Phelps. He was actually excommunicated twice. Once in 1838, he's rebaptized, but then he testifies against Joseph in 39. He's excommunicated again. He writes a letter to Joseph Smith, and it's accompanied by a letter by a couple of apostles vouching for William's sincerity. William asks Joseph Smith for forgiveness, and just weeks later receives a reply in which Joseph Smith extends the hand of fellowship again. He adds this kind of poetic postscript. Come on, dear brother, since the war is past, for friends at first are friends again at last. And William comes back to Nauvoo and participates in all of the exciting things that happen there.
I mean, what do you think, Sarah? If your friend had like testified and put you in jail?
This is really very inspirational, Joseph's willingness to forgive.
It does, I think, give us a picture into his character. Something we can all learn from.
Yes, it does give us a picture into his character. He'll tell them, I forgive you if you come and help me build my temple. He doesn't give a fuck.
Phelps was a mark that was coming back to get some more. And so Joseph's like, yeah, come on, man. And that poem was some fucking fortune cookie level bullshit. Like, oh, wasn't Joseph so kind and wonderful in his poem? Fuck you. That was shit. Just like his fucking Book of Mormon. Just like everything else the dipshit wrote.
Yeah. So while Joseph was setting up in Nauvoo, apparently he used to give talks at funerals, and they talk about it in this next clip like, oh, he was such a wanted speaker. He even spoke at funerals. And I'm thinking, is this something that really proves your point? Like, to me, getting you to speak at a funeral is not like something that would be particularly difficult.
Especially if you're the kind of person who loves the sound of your own voice.
Right.
Who loves to tell people what to do and loves to act like you're the big cheese.
Sounds to me like no one else would listen to him. So he gets a job at a funeral, and then he uses the funeral as an opportunity to spread some new doctrine. How disrespectful is that to the fellow who's died? Your talk is supposed to be about remembering them.
Have you ever been to a Mormon funeral?
No. Is it worth it?
No. They talk about the church and the doctrine. They don't talk about comforting the family. They talk about the gospel.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been to one because I have no desire to ever do that.
No.
But everyone that I have heard has gone to one. They've described it as an insult to the person who's died.
That's really sad. And There is a middle ground that they could pull. I mean, especially if the person was a Mormon who died, there's nothing wrong with referring to their faith in describing how they lived or what they might believe, but it's such an insult to the person to then make it about just that one thing. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Yep.
Anyway, so let me just play this clip here about how he comes up with this fantastic new doctrine that you're all still living with now. The one doctrine that really sets apart Mormons from every other Christian-ese type religion.
Yeah.
Well, one of them anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a whole lot.
People even ask him to speak at funerals.
At the funeral of Seymour Brunson, Joseph Smith introduces for the first time the teaching that we can be baptized by proxy for people who have died.
A woman by the name of Jane Nyman immediately goes down to the Mississippi River to be baptized for her son, Cyrus.
She's lost her son recently. She's baptized for him. Latter-day Saints today might look at that and say, why is this woman being baptized for a man? That's not how we do things in temples today. That was something that changed later in 1845. And Brigham Young says, the Lord didn't reveal everything to Joseph Smith. Members are just excited. They want to redeem their family members.
We later have a revelation that comes.
In January of 41, now in section 124 of the Doctrine and Covenants, Joseph Smith ties together the building of temples with this new and exciting practice of baptisms for the dead. This gives a new impetus to the temple project.
Oh, I bet it does. Oh, so exciting.
Yeah, you can only do the baptisms to dead in my new vanity project. Jesus was baptized in the river, but we've got to have this special fucking building.
I know.
You all need to fucking spend your money on and your time.
How the fuck did Joseph convince these essentially Christian people in order to get people saved in the afterlife, they have to build some Masonic temple that doesn't make any sense at all and baptize them in it? I mean, this is just so bonkers and beyond anything Christian.
Well, not like Christianity is logical.
I know, but I mean, usually things build upon, but I guess sometimes things just completely like a shoot going off a tree, a giant rod, as the story is. That's exactly what this is.
Yep.
I don't think he had any foreplan, but when he saw it take off, he was like, they really like this new doctrine that I told at a funeral. Oh, I'm going to tie it into my temple. They've got to build me my temple.
Yeah. I mean, Joseph Smith wasn't even the first person to identify proxy baptisms for the dead.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. It makes sense that he wouldn't have been that creative, though, because he's never been that creative.
No, he's never been.
He's just crafty. He's not creative.
Here's a paragraph from a page. Interesting is Joseph Smith was not the first of his era to reinstitute the practice for baptism for the dead by proxy. During the First Great Awakening in the mid-1700s, Zionitic Brotherhood of...
Zionitic?
Yeah, Zionitic. Zionitic Brotherhood of Ephrata, Pennsylvania introduced proxy baptisms, a practice that spread locally and survived until the 1840s. Whether Joseph Smith was aware of this community and their religious rituals is unknown, but highly suspect because all he did was ever steal shit from everybody else.
Yes.
But clearly other people of faith were engaging in similar practices for the spiritual welfare of the departed.
I remember when I was in churches and I'd look at all of the elaborate extra complications that religious ritual and dogma puts on things from the Bible. The fact that you need to have these physical things to do something that's spiritual to me just always felt so at odds.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't need anything to talk to God.
That was the beginning of the great schism between the Catholic and Protestant, was that the Catholics were in charge of everything related to God. You had to go through them to get to God.
Yeah.
Martin Luther was like, no, that can't be right. They should be able to have their own relationship with God. It was just hilarious because the Mormons are like, oh, the Catholic Church is a great and abominable church, the whore of Babylon. And then they're pulling the same shit. So, whatever.
All right. Well, I think I've only got one more clip. Oh, yeah. This is a ripper.
Yeah, this one's rich.
Yeah, this is very rich. So I've called this one a stonecutter hunt. Was he in a guild with other stonemasons?
Right.
Have a listen to this.
What can you tell us about some of the iconic elements of the temple? The sunstones, the moonstones, the stars.
We have one account only, I think, that might give us some insight into what those symbols meant to Joseph Smith and to the saints in Nauvoo. And it comes from a man who was a stonecutter that worked on the temple. And he left this in his autobiography. And I'm assuming that this is something he's learning from Joseph Smith, who spent a lot of time in the stonecutter shop. We have accounts of him working in the quarry. And this stonecutter, whose name was Wandle May, said that the symbols relate to the woman that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 12. The moon at her feet, whose face is shining like the sun and who has a crown of stars. And that woman is representative of the church, and she gives birth to the kingdom of God. And really, the temple is the place where church members can come and make those covenants that help establish the kingdom.
Fuck you.
Can he not hear what he's saying?
They know goddamn well where those fucking symbols came from. And they know goddamn well that there is so much written down about how Joseph was a Freemason and Brigham was a Freemason and Hiram has been a Freemason since the fucking 20s. There's no goddamn doubt. And the same fucking symbology is on the Salt Lake City Temple. It may not be once they're done with their fucking rebuilding the whole damn thing. I don't know. I don't care. Fuck them.
Yeah.
But
fuck them.
Everybody fucking knew that was Masonic symbology because Joseph, or was it Brigham? Can't remember. Said that the Freemasons have preserved the knowledge, but they don't quite have a right. We have the true Freemasonry. They know what those fucking symbols are. They are ripped directly from Freemasonry. Joseph Smith was a Freemason. Joseph Smith tried to appeal to the Freemasons. He thought the Freemasons were going to come fucking rescue his ass from Carthage jail. He was fucking throwing Freemason gang signs when he fucking died. And they're like, oh, I wonder, huh, what are those about? Well, you know, we only have one account that might talk about what they might be represented. Fuck you. You are lying through your goddamn teeth. You know exactly what they are. And you are purposely trying to obscure facts.
Yeah.
So that your audience doesn't have to confront the fact Joseph Smith stole shit and then pretended like it was his magical revelations.
Yeah, I mean, either Matt McBride is A, not very knowledgeable on the topic, which would seem to be not a very smart thing to put him on a podcast where he's supposed to be an expert.
Yeah.
Or B, is not very smart, or C, is lying. It's got to be one of those three things.
I don't think that any of those are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that he is participating in one of the well-known things that church leaders do, which is lying for the Lord. They're telling lies so that the faithful don't have to think.
It's not even a good story, though. I mean, did he listen to what he was saying?
No.
So he's saying Joseph used to hang out with stonecutters a lot. He used to spend a lot of time with stonecutters. The only story we have is from a stonecutter. What's another word for a stonecutter?
Stonemason.
Did they come together in a guild ever? Did they ever have meals together?
When they brought the Freemasons in, pretty much all the Mormon men became Freemasons. And I would be interested, vaguely, I'm losing interest already, because fuck this shit. But
I love it.
I would be interested to know if Wendell May was a Freemason.
Of course he was.
Right. But in this work that they're citing, if he didn't actually fucking say, these are Freemason symbols.
Yeah, we should look up his autobiography.
I know. Well, I'm trying to.
I don't know why I didn't think of that, Jones. See, this is good. This is why I do this with other people. See, we have a better collective intelligence.
Well, that's because we're not more than five people.
That's right.
Once you get past five people, they're fucking idiots.
He spells his name W-A-N-D-L-E.
What? That's Wandle.
Yeah, and his surname is Mace, M-A-C-E.
Oh, okay. M-A-C-E. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
I misheard it and didn't double check the spelling. There's an autobiography there, but it looks like it's handwritten. So, I mean, reading that would be
a pain in the ass.
We might have to revisit this after I've done some research.
Yeah, I think so.
But thanks for bringing that to my attention. That's a really good point, and we can follow that up.
This would be just like these fuckers to ignore. Brother Joseph had us put the symbols of masonry on the temple. There's no possible way they don't know where this comes from, but they're just going to pretend. Let's pretend it. Ignore first person sources. Joseph Smith talking about how he became a master mason in his fucking journal. But no, they're not going to be honest. They're not going to be ethical. They're going to lie.
The way Matt puts it, he says, and I'm assuming that this is something he's learning from Joseph Smith. It's almost like he knows it's probably not, you know, but he's just like, oh, I'm assuming it's something he learned from Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
It's something that all Masons would know.
Yes, exactly.
You didn't need to learn it from Joseph Smith, who spent a lot of time in the stonecutter shop. Oh, is that what they're calling a masonry meeting now?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I wouldn't put it past it, but at the same time, like, they literally had a stonecutter shop.
And he spent time working in the quarry.
Yeah.
He just loved hanging around stonemasons, Jones.
Yeah, he was probably there listening to himself talk. And these guys were like, oh, let's listen to Brother Joseph so he'll go away. But if he goes away, he'll fuck my wife. So let's pretend like we're really interested in what he's saying. So he stays here and stops fucking my wife.
And then when he starts throwing the gang signs for masonry, yeah, Nobody comes to save us. Like, oh, we don't really like him.
Well, and from what I hear, the reason he was throwing the gang signs as he was at the window was because there were Freemasons among the mob and he was trying to appeal to them. But they didn't save his ass and he died.
Yeah.
He was a Freemason. He was a goddamn Freemason.
Oh, for sure. For sure, for sure.
Whether he was a believing Freemason? No. It was just fucking doing whatever it took to
bang people's wives.
And their daughters. And their mothers. Yeah. And possibly their sheep. I don't know.
And also to just not have to work very hard.
Exactly. Joseph Smith didn't like farming, so he made up a religion.
I also just find that whole story about the woman in Revelation chapter 12 in the sky and the crown of stars and all of that. There's something about that whole imagery that I just find really offensive. Of course, it had to be a woman who was giving birth to something. That's all they see women as.
Yeah, they're broodmares.
Eternal birthing machines.
Uh-huh.
And I just find it distasteful.
I've never really studied much about Freemasonry because it's another made-up cult that claims it's been around since ancient times, established by rich white fuckers in the 1700s.
So anyway, that was yet another episode of this amusing podcast because they just say the craziest shit that is hilarious and also kind of sad. I'm going to focus on the hilarious, Jones. I want to take this church down.
Yeah.
And I want to start a vegan restaurant in one of their temples. I got to get my home back first. I'm going to get my home back and then I'm going to buy a temple when they go bankrupt.
There you go.
I've got high dreams.
All right.
Praise Jesus.
If you want to, I guess.
I want to use the temple to
host orgies. Joseph Smith would smile down from heaven if you used the temple to host orgies.
Just culinary competitions, not cunnilingus.
Yeah. You want to keep it sanitary.
Hey, look, it's been real nice talking to you again.
Good to talk to you too.
I'm sorry we don't get to do this more often, but I'm really glad that you're still with me on this.
Hey, life is life.
Life is a trip, isn't it?
Life's a bitch.
Yeah. I hope that by next time I talk to you, I'm in my own place again.
Yeah, I do too.
Good luck surviving America.
Thanks.
When you get down, just remember me smiling about everything and turn lemons into lemonade.
Okay. And if that doesn't work, I'll just get really fucking high.
That's right. Yes.
Yep.
That is proactiveness. I appreciate that.
I guess this is my new normal.